As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
This is the Athletic Football Show.
Welcome to the Athletic Football Show. I'm Robert Mays. Joining me tonight, it's my good friend Nate Tice. Nate, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. That was schlock.
Thursday Night Football is back!
That's what we needed. I was a little excited, kind of, for like seeing next week Bengals, Dolphins. So it's like, okay. I can live with that one a little bit. That's a little more interesting than what we just saw a little bit. I mean, it was interesting. There was some stuff to talk about, but it was that was a performance from that Steelers offense. That sure was.
We'll dig into that. Browns beat the Steelers 29-17 right before we started recording. I said, the Browns scored another touchdown. I was getting ready to do this. I did not see the lateral fest touchdown by Denzel Ward. If you tease that game, I am incredibly sorry. If you have any sort of altered over-under, I'm incredibly sorry. If you're playing against the Browns defense in fantasy, I'm very sorry. I had them for the first 2 weeks of the season because they were playing against the Jets and the Panthers. I could not turn down Dallas against the Giants next Monday, though. So I had to make a change. So I'm off the Browns. Unfortunate timing for me. And I just dropped David Njoku today. So a lot of good stuff happening for this guy.
That's good.
Let's start with the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
Cleveland Browns are a couple bounces of the ball, one terrible onside kick fumbling from being 3-0 this season. Mm-hmm. Greg Rosenthal asked this on Twitter. I had a very similar thought down the second half of this game. Do you think the Browns offense is better with Jacoby Brissett than it was with Baker Mayfield?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. That I'm not even hesitating there.
I think it is definitively better.
I made a joke. I replied to Greg, and I said it's nice to have a quarterback with his internal clock in the same time zone. And but honestly, when you watch this offense, because it's not like a simple offense, but it's a very – like the ball's out. There's simple reads, I should say. It's very much the 1-2. It's a lot of play action. So it's 1-2 to check down. So everything should come out like on 1 or 2 hitches. And Baker, how many times do you see Baker backing up? At least the ball's coming out in a timely manner. It's going to the right spots. Like the first touchdown of Amari Cooper in the red zone, Baker's not throwing that quickly. Like Jacoby, he that's not an area that he throws that well. He always throws that.
Even the second one in Njoku, he lets that thing rip on time.
On high and high pointed it. It was nice. And like that inside slant though, like Baker would always throw the outside slant. That was, I would joke about it that they'd run double slant. He'd always throw the outside slant every single time. So it was literally something that Baker would never throw. I mean, that's the difference right there. The QB sneaks. Oh my God. Like he's a machine on those. And yeah, I really do think when your strength of your team is the run game. There's a saying in horse racing, like a jockey can't win you a race, but they can lose it. I might be butchering, but that's kind of being a quarterback in this Browns offense is just don't mess it up for us.
He's a game manager. And that we is say, wait, I don't classic. Mean that in a pejorative nope. way. He is nope. a game manager, and it's not just a don't make mistakes game manager. A couple things that really stuck out to me about the way he plays the position today. Jacoby Brissett on his first 32 dropbacks today was pressured 3 times. Okay. I know TJ Watt did not play.
Yeah.
Definitely have to take that into account. Yep. Take that stat with a grain of salt. How often did he calmly and correctly adjust the protection tonight and slide it the right way and was able to stand in there because he was yep. making the right decisions pre-snap? Yep. He's just not shooting them in the foot in yep. more ways than not just turning the ball over. Yes. And I think that's really important. He's yep. done that consistently.
Yep. Ball's coming out. The finding checkdowns. I mean, it's kind of a funny who got the targets tonight. Amari Cooper got 11 targets. Njoku got 10 targets. And then the rest of the receivers, Peoples-Jones got 3. Bell got 1. And so
that's how I thought it was going to be coming into the season.
That's how it should
that's
be.
That's why I have David Njoku in every fantasy league.
He's looked great as a blocker, too, actually.
I wanted to point that out because he had a really nice day today as a receiver. Everyone's going to talk about that.
Yep.
They ran that play multiple times in the first half where they had trips to the right with Njoku and the two receivers in a condensed split. Njoku handles the edge by himself
yep.
out of that alignment multiple times with Petonio pulling around, and they get chunk gains out of it
yep.
multiple times. Coming into this game, no tight end in the league had more run-blocking snaps than David Njoku.
That's
no
one.
But it wasn't even close.
We talk about three down backs. A three down tight end is very, very valuable. That you don't have to rotate. Oh God, we're run blocking. All right. Get Lee Smith in there. You know, like not having to rotate the guys for your personnel. That matters. That really matters. And he's good at it. And they do it in smart ways too. Like in the Panthers game, they run pin pull really well. And I like that you brought up the long guard pull that they do with Petonio. Is they do like a feign block where he steps in front of the D end and then he goes and cracks the linebacker.
They did that a couple times today. Yeah.
He's really good at it because they actually have to honor him. The D ends go, oh shoot, this guy can get me. Like, so they actually have to honor him. They're not just like throwing him to side. So it's great. It's a great usage of personnel. Also the Browns, this was they're the first team to run 7 offensive linemen in the NFL tonight. So just banner day. Banner day
again,
for blocking.
Pretty on brand for this franchise.
Yeah.
The David Njoku contract that he signed this summer, I think mm-hmm. a lot of people raised an eye. And understandably so, but he's still only 26 years old. Yep. He is a willing and able blocker in this offense. He can play every single snap for them.
Yep.
He can do a lot after the catch. He catches screens. They do such a great job in their tight end screen game. So this type of night is kind of what I expected from him coming into the season. Maybe not 10 targets and 8 catches for 80 and a touchdown, but I expected him to be a bigger part of their passing game and still a pretty good run blocker. And that's exactly what he is. It's kind of funny because he came into the league as this uber athlete first-round
yes.
pick.
Yes.
And very rarely are those guys effective blockers yep. first and yep. then come into their own as receivers. And that might be the path that David Njoku is on.
It's really cool. Hey, that's the philosophy on tight ends. Just draft the big, fast athletes and hope they work out and get some good. Get Bill Callahan as your offensive line coach and coach him up so he gets into good run blocking. But no, it's credit to him turning himself into a truly valuable player. That is very valuable. And the fact that he's high, like we're talking about the throw, but he's high pointing a touchdown and they're targeting him mm-hmm. for a reason because he's a good athlete. He's got good size and can go and get up there. So that's a very valuable player. And he's playing really, really good football right now.
The call on 3rd and 1 to throw that ball
awesome.
To Amari Cooper is a hell of a call.
Coming out of the quarter, the Steelers should have been like alarm bells like ringing. Every time you come a stoppage of play, a 2-minute warning, a timeout, quarter, like you should know maybe a shot play is coming, but awesome call. Awesome call. There's other guys that would get puckered up there. And nope, Stefanski, they went for it. I love that. I love going for the throat there.
As your Brissett there, how it's got to be terrifying. It's like, oh God, he's wide open.
It's a one-man
There's
route.
One thing I can't. It's a one-man route. And
one-man
Minka
route.
Bites hard on the run fake.
Yep.
This is the 3rd and 1 coming out of the quarter
yep,
that they
the
lined up in a super heavy personnel package and yep. they threw it deep to Amari Cooper. Amari does a great job of setting that up, by the mm-hmm. way. He stakes one step to the corner and then all the way across the field. There's nothing but space. And if you're Jacoby, it's all I have to do is not chuck this 5 feet over his head.
Yes.
And yep. in that moment, it's got to be.
It's the worst.
As a quarterback, I can't imagine that feeling where it's like, there's all I have to do is not screw this up.
The hardest,
so good job for him.
The hardest throws are the wide open ones. They really are. Cause you're like, don't baby it. Don't throw it too far. And then usually you underthrow it. Like that's why so many times it's like, we call them anchor balls where the guy's running and the guy's like the anchor's dragging him back. Like, but it's, you're like, just don't overthrow it. Don't screw this up. It's kind of funny too with Amari being in almost like a traditional offense. He actually looks, this is like the best he's like kind of like looked, because he gets to do kind of,
he looks
like,
really good.
He gets to do real receiver things, and not, I think maybe sometimes the misconception with him was that, like, you know, he's like, because he's so quick off the line, but really he's best going vertical. And in this offense,
he's got a lot of juice to him. Way more than you would have thought based on how he was using Dallas. There were a couple years where they were using him on some more vertical routes.
When he first got
Gallup kind of stepped into that role.
Yep.
And he's kind of stepped out of it. And I think when he can stride it out, he is a really impressive athlete.
Yes.
When I was at training camp and you're around him and you forget, like, this guy was drafted in the top five. Mm-hmm. Like, he is much bigger and faster than you might expect from a guy who is kind of a Z receiver. He played off the line of scrimmage with the Cowboys. He's profiled as that sort of quickness, route running type player, but he's more physically impressive than that. And seeing him in this role, I actually think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you both touchdowns. Was concerned, curious about how the Steelers matched those.
Yeah.
The first touchdown
to Cooper.
The
first one was weird.
They were in 11 personnel, and the Steelers matched it with base defense.
Yep. That one was
So I'm curious, Stefanski, when they showed him on the broadcast and you saw him like in the process of bringing the play in, and he kind of like smiled right at the end, right before they cut away from him. I'm wondering if he saw that they were out in base and he's like, well, that's it. We got it.
Yeah.
Because Terrell Edmonds was on Cooper,
which is
because they were in
matchup.
Base defense. I was like, what is happening here?
And they brought five. So, and traditionally when, like, this is the thing, when you bring four and you run man coverage, you have a hole player, a robber or a linebacker that's in the middle. So guys play with outside leverage because their help's in the middle. And they brought five there, and Edmonds played outside. So it was very weird for me. It was like, so are they expecting Minkah Fitzpatrick just to be a monster back, which he is?
He can be in five different places at the same time.
Yeah, like that's what, are they, like, was that, it was weird. Maybe they caught him. The Browns went tempo a ton this game, I noticed. Like, they were really
Another
hurrying to the line.
Another example of him being a game manager, of being able to control the flow of the game. And I think that's a great thing to point out.
They never went out of sorts. Like, that's really, being a game manager. I know, we're not using that, we're using that as a compliment. Like, he is a competent quarterback. Like, he can handle this. There's a reason Belichick drafted him, because he interviews really well. I actually hosted Jacoby at Wisconsin. He did not commit. I hosted him and Nick O'Leary. He ended up going to Georgia first. So it's actually, I have a long history with him. Great guy. So, like, I understand why people want him on his team, because he understands football.
Universally beloved teammate.
He's
like, everyone loves Jacoby.
Loves that. So he, like, this is an anecdote. I know we're talking about this game, but I was at, with the Falcons, I was scouting. I was at NC State's pro day. He threw. And he's, you know, other people are talking to him, and I'm just off to the side taking my notes. And then I was like, hey, Jacoby, I wanted it. And I didn't even get my words out. And he goes, he didn't remember my name, but he goes, Wisconsin. He remembered me hosting him from years and years prior. I was like, yeah, you didn't commit. But yeah, good to see you, man. I'm like, good to see you. But yeah, but he is, you can tell he gets football. He's probably going to be a great coach, because he just gets it. You can tell. Even at the Colts, you could tell he'd be like, as the play's going, and he's like, has his hand up because he understands that it's about to be a shot or something like that. He's one of those types of guys. He just gets football, and you can tell when he has a nice offensive line, he gets to operate back there, and he does a good job. He's doing a good job right now. All three games, he has done a good job playing quarterback.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
The way I understood it, even when the Watson suspension came down with as many games as it was, I don't think they ever thought about moving on to go get another quarterback. Maybe they considered it. But the way that I had understood it from the building is that Jacoby, they were very happy and very secure in what he could be for them six games, 10 games, whatever it would be. And I think that he's acquitted himself very well in the way that he has played over the first few games of the season. He's been everything that they need.
Yep.
On defense for the Browns, it's hard to say, right? I mean, so the biggest concern I have, pass rush non-existent for most of this game. No Clowney.
Yep.
So something to think about, but they did got nothing, no push up front whatsoever, even with bringing a little bit of heat every once in a while.
Yeah, they the Steelers went, I've just looked it up on True Media, Steelers went max protection 25% of their snaps, of their dropbacks. Max pro. So they were saying, Myles Garrett, you are not wrecking our game until the very end, and then they had to spread it out a little bit. But they were going the empty looks with the double chippers a lot. They were really cognizant, a lot of sprint outs. But then it's so funny, the Steelers offense. It is so frustrating with Matt.
That's what I wanted to get into.
I have to. Yeah, hold on. Yeah.
Let's table the Browns conversation for a second. Okay. I want to talk about the Browns defense and analyze the Browns defense when they play against a real NFL offense.
We can
do that a little bit later down the road. Better. They definitely play better. Less.
Denzel Ward looked great. Bus.
Denzel Ward had a couple really nice moments. Yep. So I do think they played better. But let's get talk about that a little bit later. Let's dig into the Steelers offense. What is the most frustrating part for you about watching this offense?
This is a great way to sum it up. Is their run game, toot my own horn before I even say anything, but the run game has all the motion, the Matt Canada, you know, okay, all this stuff, the double motion, double jet stuff. And then when they get in the passing game, they all just sit there. It's there's no motion. I want to look at the stats, what the numbers are from pass to run on shifts and motions, because they get out, they spread out in the shotgun. It's like static. As soon as no one's moving, it's like pass. Like, you know, it's going to be a pass. And it's like, as soon as you see a motion, run. Like, there's no tying together. We talk about siloed offenses. This isn't just siloed. It is their tendencies are so ridiculous. Like, you can tell literally what they're about to run by the tight end, by the formation. It's very elementary. And that's what it is. The dropback game is so basic, and not even just basic in the sense that they don't run a lot, but the stuff that they do run. There's a reason they're throwing so many go balls, because they're saying that's the best throw on this.
The passing chart was insane.
Dude, it was embarrassing. It's like it was stacked on top of each other, just right side go balls in the first half.
And a couple on the left sideline.
Yeah, just a couple. Like, it's you can't win that way. You can't. It's not sustainable to win that way, even when you have dudes. Ask the Bengals. I mean, it's hard to do it when you
ask George Pickens after the play he made today. They have guys. Deontay Johnson missed
one
down the left sideline. Yeah. That one that was right there through his arms. But for the most part, he's going to make those plays. He makes plenty of them. George Pickens makes that insane catch down the sideline. Like, absolutely insane.
One of the greatest catches I've ever seen.
Essentially horizontal to the ground.
Yeah. It's different than the OBJ. Back. I don't want to say the OBJ one was ridiculous, but he has both eyes. And just think when you're... I know the people listening to this on the podcast, you're moving around here, but this is why you got to watch our YouTube streams. And
these recaps will only be on YouTube starting with our next one. So take that into account.
Good enough.
Yes.
But this one is horizontal and it's passing over his head. So just think of how your peripheral vision goes with a helmet on. That is insane. It should be the NFL logo, like Jerry West with the NBA logo. It was so cool. Kirk Herbstreit, I know he's doing a nice job, but he has a lot of information they're giving. Like, someone get excited. I was flipping out on my couch. I'm by myself drinking my
LaCroix.
It's one
of the greatest catches you'll ever see.
In
the history of the NFL. And we did not have that sort of response from the broadcasting team.
I know. You know that meme on Twitter where it's Joe Buck? It's like, Joe Buck, the sun's rising. He's like, oh, God. Oh, God, yes. That's what it felt like. Just very monotone. Like, come on. Like, someone get excited. I was flipping out. I'm drinking my LaCroix. Going like, somebody. Like, I want to high-five somebody right now. So... take it to Twitter. But no, it was one of the coolest catches, but it's so frustrating because that's the only way he's getting fed is go balls.
Yeah.
That's hard. You're not getting any gimmies, no slants, no digs. You don't see a dig in this offense. You don't see a high low over the middle of the field until the last drive when they're, you know, down two scores. And those were benders and those are hard throws too. They're just running four verts and four vert variations and stick. It's a very, very basic offense. It feels very ACC. That's what I feel like I'm watching. I feel like I'm watching a mid-tier ACC offense in the NFL.
That siloing of when they were using motion, they were running, and when they weren't, they were throwing. This is a consistent problem for this offense. I thought it was a Ben Roethlisberger problem.
I did too.
Because I thought he didn't want moving pieces when they were dropping back to throw. Clearly not a Ben Roethlisberger problem because it's carried over when he's not the quarterback anymore.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, I thought... They do put Trubisky on the move on sprintouts a lot. Where are the nakeds? Like, where are the bootlegs, the other movement stuff? Like, where is the tie-ins, the play action? Like, that's, again, I'm kind of going off what you're saying. He doesn't turn his back. Like, there's not, it just feels very just like, okay, we're sitting in the shotgun, 3-by-1, Y off, you know, tight end off, and we're running this play. And there's nothing like where it's like, ooh, that looks like the run play where they're under center. I want to break this down like the next couple of weeks, maybe get another game and then start looking at their tendencies, because it's very, just very like 80%, 75% this, 80% this. And that you can't win that way in the NFL when you don't have guys and you have Trubisky. Your best offense is Trubisky run around a little bit or Najee Harris break some tackles. Like, that's their best offense right now.
Yeah, Trubisky run around and sling a ball up the sideline and see what happens is not the makings of an NFL offense.
Nope.
So that leads me to my next question. You have a mini bye now. You have a few more days, and then you walk into your next game in 10 days. Is this the time? Is it time for Kenny Pickett to play? What are the reasons that he shouldn't be playing at this point?
They kind of understand what they are. I think it's a very – you got to be reflective. Like, unless he is – you're saying he's unplayable at this point, which I don't think he is, but – that would be the only argument against it, that they're saying it's worse if he's out there. But it's like, well, he needs to see bullets.
You risk – my understanding as far as why he would not play at the beginning is that this is a veteran locker room.
Yes.
And there is a standard culturally within the organization.
Especially that defense.
We try to win. Okay. Yes. We are trying to win every single game. Mm-hmm. The best players are going to be out there. Did you see the body language on the sideline with the receivers today? Did you hear George Pickens this week talking about how he's open 99% of the time? The culture's going out the window, Mike.
No,
you're not keeping anything intact by trotting this guy out there.
Right.
You're running out of reasons to not play the guy you drafted in the first round. Even if it's marginal, I still feel like the building and the veterans and the guys in there are probably going to understand the kid was drafted in the first round. He should play.
Right.
Like, I understand why he should play. It's not enough of a step back for you to incite a mutiny because guys are upset about wasting games of their career.
Right. And the fact that you slap that first round grade on him and draft him in the first round, it is, hey, there's not like a mistaking. We're planning on this guy starting at some point. Why not now? I still think, of course, the perfect role is a guy sits for a year, but it's on this team. Why? Like, why? We know what Trubisky is. It's not helping. I mean, the still not throwing down the left side is still kind of happening, too. And honestly, I just want to speak about the culture of the Steelers real quick. It's a very real thing. And it's a very, it's a very, very real thing. But even you could see it tonight. Jalen Warren, the backup running back, who I really like, really, really fun player, great pass protector and get with the ball in his hands. He had the fumble. And they recovered it. The Steelers recovered it. He gets benched because that's what they do. Steelers are going to do that old school. You turn the ball, but get out of here. And Cam Hayward comes up, slaps him on the ass and like rubs him and goes, hey, you're good. You're good. That is real. That is a real thing. They have a team that everybody has to be accountable. And so that's where I see the hesitancy to play a young quarterback. But dude, let him get in there. Let him get his feet wet, especially like you said, when you have the half bye that they have this week.
Yeah, I just don't see any more reasons why he's not the better option. You understand the long-term plan, and again, if it's not enough of a step back that you're going to have guys kind of looking out the side, giving you the side eye, because really, we're going to put this guy in? Like,
it's not some fourth rounder. Yeah, it's not Ian Book last year, you know, for the Saints. It's a dude you drafted at 20 or 21 or whatever it was. But that's
and I think it's really important to understand that you said it's ideally a guy would sit for a year. Who are the last two guys that were first-round picks that sat for a year?
Mahomes.
Yep.
And then was it Palmer?
Trey Lance sat all of last season.
Oh, Trey Lance.
Two spot starts. Okay.
Yeah.
So two guys who were first round picks that sat for an entire season, those were top five offenses.
Yep.
When those guys sat. I'm pretty sure the 2017 Chiefs finished 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth in offensive DVOA.
And had won the division the previous X amount of years.
Yes.
Or put their legit 10-win
team. I'm pretty sure they finished fourth.
Yeah.
And I think I want to say the Niners finished fifth last year.
Yeah.
He looked great.
That was Alex Smith
Bombs away. Those are offenses where they're giving you the best chance to win because you're set up to win.
Yes.
If you can have this thing where you maintain the culture because there's offensive excellence and this is who we are, and no one's wondering how much better we would be because you're already so good. That's not what this is.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you have to understand that both a long-term view and the short-term health of the franchise can probably be helped by moving to a guy you drafted in the first round.
Yes. Yes. I totally agree. And it's they have to know. You have to have some self-awareness with your team. I know you have some standard, but everything, like It changes. It changes from year to year. This is not the Steelers offense from 4-ish years ago, you know, when, or even 5-6 years ago. This team, this offense has been kind of, yeah. Don't you want a little spark? And even though when before free agency happened and everybody was hyping up how Trubisky is going to make like $20 million and stuff. Remember that? Like, remember that week that happened where like, like people were tripping over themselves about how much money Trubisky's going to get paid, and he got a 1-year deal for single digits.
He's a backup. He got a backup contract because he's a backup quarterback.
Correct.
And that's okay. It's okay to be a backup quarterback.
Yep.
But when you draft a guy in the first round and this is the situation that you're staring at, I think that it behooves you to give that guy a chance, especially when you have this built-in mini bye 3 weeks into the season and everyone can see what's happening.
And this defense is always going to keep him in games. That's also another argument too, is that they're not going to have a lot of games where it's like, oh my God, we're the whole second half. We got to chuck it. They're always going to be in games. I really do think that.
I'm worried about what it looks like without Watt.
Highsmith stepping up.
I'm just concerned. Highsmith's a nice player, but that's it. Highsmith's coming off the bench. Highsmith is a starter.
Yeah.
The other rotating cast of guys they have on that other edge, it's not very good.
No.
The TJ Watt brings this whole thing together, and they really miss him when he's not out there. I still think they'll be competent enough.
Yeah.
Cam Sutton is a nice player. He had some nice moments again today. Like they get the most out of their guys on that side of the ball. I really believe that. Mm-hmm. But I still think that it's so tough without Watt for the defense to carry you for stretches. The defense can't carry them for stretches with him on the bench. They can only tread water and sustain.
And this was interesting too, is that like Minkah Fitzpatrick's been playing amazing the last 2 weeks. This is the worst kind of game script for a guy like him to affect the game. He's a guy that destroys quarterbacks throwing the ball 30 to 40 times and gets in the way. He's not a guy because how they use him. He's basically a perma robber. Like they want him just playing like reading eyes and doing what he does, or playing cover two and going rogue. I'm going rogue in a good way. And this is the worst type of game script for him. Up until this game, by the way, the Steelers did not play a snap of base defense until this game, this entire season. They were all nickel and dime the entire year until this game. And then now they have to get out.
They put it in weird situations.
And now
they're so strange.
So strange, right? It was kind of like they galaxy brained themselves a little bit, I think. I really do think that. And that's the thing. When you have a unique Browns offense like this that can win with a dominant offensive line and just fresh back, Kareem Hunt, Chubb, like it's when those backs are hitting the hole hard, it takes you out of your element. And if your element's going to put a bunch of DBs on the field, that's kind of frustrating. But that's the advantage the Browns had in this game, too.
Note from our producer, one thing to take into account while we're thinking about Kenny Pickett, whether he should start. After the Jets next week, the Steelers are at Buffalo and then home for Tampa Bay.
Okay, let's wait.
So there's a chance that Mike Tomlin's looking at that slate and saying, we'll feed Mitch to the Bills and the Bucks, and then maybe Kenny will get his chance after that.
What's the Trubisky Bills wick scale? Is that half a wick? Is that the John Wick?
Oh, negative wicks. He got his chance to be a starter because of the reclamation project that happened in Buffalo where he didn't do anything.
Quote, unquote. Coming in as the JV quarterback at the end of the games and blowouts. He had a great rejuvenation project there.
I have no issues with Mitchell Trubisky. I think that there are a lot of guys who make a great living. Week 7 at Miami, week 8 at Philly is what they have after that.
God. When's their bye?
A lot of guys.
That's why I want to know.
I don't know. I'm not looking at
the schedule. Yeah, I'm not either.
This is live, week 9 bye. So I don't know. I don't want to wait till week 9. I don't think Steelers fans want to wait till week 9, but that next couple games after the Jets is pretty daunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being a backup quarterback. There's nothing wrong with being Jacoby Brissett.
Nope.
And you bounce around to a couple teams and you people like you. You're in the locker room.
Ask Chase Daniel.
The life that you live.
Ask Chase Daniel how it's been. It's been a great living for him. And that's the thing. Trubisky's the ideal backup because he can go in there and run around. Like, even if he doesn't know the game plan, go run around and make some plays if you need him as a spot starter. But when he's your long-term guy, it's just, we've seen it. It's not fun.
All right. Anything else?
No, not really. Just I'm excited for Sunday. I actually enjoyed this game more than I thought I would. The Browns' run game is legit fun to watch, and I mean
the Browns' offense. I'm enjoying watching.
I mean that
because
sincerely.
I really like him having his finger on the button.
I do too.
I just think that he's done a really nice job with it.
I do too. Jacoby Brissett, and we keep calling him a game manager. We are saying this so much as a compliment because he is playing good football. He's playing winning football. He really is at quarterback, and that's fine. And now the defense, you know, has to do their part. And it's the Browns are hanging in there. They really are. It's an interesting team. It's a team more interesting than you maybe thought maybe a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. If they hadn't made a Faustian bargain in the way that they did trading for the quarterback that they traded for, I would feel really good about what they've done over the first few weeks.
I was swerving lanes, getting around it right there. So I'm doing what I can here. But no, props to Jacoby Brissett for winning another game and this Browns team. So Thursday Night Football, nothing like it.
All right. That's all we got, guys. Really appreciate it. This will obviously be available as a podcast very, very soon here. If you have not listened to our week 3 preview, which is an hour and 45 minutes long, sorry about that. First time we tried out that format with the two of us starting it and then Deontay coming in. We will tighten those shows up later on. But there is a lot to dig into with our week 3 preview. We talked about Bills Dolphins. We talked about Bucks Packers. We talked about the gremlin filled Jags defense going against the Chargers. We talked about the Chiefs defense against the Colts. Asked if the Eagles are definitively the best team in the NFC. We trotted out some takes. We're wading into them. We're going to start doing that on every Thursday show or most Thursday shows. So please go check that out if you have not. Also, please subscribe to this YouTube channel. I alluded to it a little bit earlier. These game recaps that we're doing, we are going to stop releasing them as podcasts. It is going to be YouTube only. They're going to be YouTube exclusive. So if you want to watch these, if you want to hear these, you're going to have to start watching the YouTube channel. If you want to subscribe to that, the description of this podcast, the link is in there. Please subscribe. We have this. We have our Sunday recaps. We have the Monday hangover. We have, I'm pointing down to the people listening. The Monday hangover, a lot of stuff on YouTube. Nate's X's and O's series, Wind the Clock. So please go subscribe if you have not. Subscribe to the podcast if you are not. And subscribe to The Athletic. TheAthletic.com/football show. Football GM will come out on Friday afternoon. A lot of stuff to remember. Football GM will come out Friday afternoon with Randy Mueller and Mike Sando. So highly encourage you guys to listen to that. And then we will be back on Sunday nights. In the meantime, appreciate you guys listening. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
This was The Athletic Football Show.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.